Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, we reveal what processor Darren had chosen for his new build, and we take a deep look at the Fantex Eclipse P500A. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today I have Darren Pink. Well, you know, Darren, this month is all going to be about continuation of previous episodes.
Well, that works.
Well, and in our extra last month, we talked about the process of choosing a processor. And we went all the way through, like, you know, do we want a Rocket Lake or a Comet Lake or a Ivy Bridge or a Copper Mine? You know, we went down the specs and we pick and choose which one to choose based off of the best specs for what you wanted to do. And you bought a processor, right?
I did. You know, we did all that work, which was kind of nice. And so I went home and bought a different processor.
Yay. It wasn't a Ryzen, right?
No, of course not.
Okay, good.
Although, you know, Ryzen's on the rise. And
on the rise end of the, yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit. So what happened was I went back home and I was still oscillating between a 10900K and a 1100 something.
Oh, yeah. The two processors we excluded because they were too expensive.
And trying to decide if the stretch was worth it.
Oh.
When I discovered a processor that we had neglected to talk about.
Oh, my gosh. A processor that was not on the list?
Exactly. And it's so obvious in retrospect. If you're out there guessing, I hope you guessed right. But what I ended up buying was an i9-10850K.
Wait a minute. 10850K. That's 50Ks less than a 10900.
Yes.
And how much would you pay for a 50 less K?
About $300 less.
What?
Yeah, something like that.
What kind of math is that?
It's Intel math. So it's even more stranger than that because I initially looked at getting a 10850KA or KF or
KF,
whatever. And then I tried to find the differences and discover that you're not really missing anything when you buy the 10850K. In fact, a lot of people are saying that it's a 10900 processor, just slightly handicapped, sort of like when you buy a high-end CPU, and it's from a chip yield that didn't give you full power.
Yeah, because instead of being in the center of the wafer die, it's on the slight outside, and it's a little bit faster than the next step down, but is not quite up to snuff to pass quality on the whatever.
So the reality is that I paid about $50 more than we originally talked about in the budget got pretty close to the same as that 10900 processor that we determined was well out of budget. And for future reference, the KA is the Avengers edition, which comes in a pretty box.
And the KF is the fingered version or something?
Oh, no. I don't know what the F stands for, actually, but it's the one that doesn't come with video processing, which ironically is the same as some of the non-Fs.
Yeah, a lot of the overclockers like the KF because they think they get better overhead or something.
Yeah, well, if you look at the numbers, you're going to find that it's really much closer than you think. So it really was a budget-based decision. Mm-hmm. Like everything, if you can stretch just a tiny bit and get a ton more processor, you can. So I did. Now, it doesn't come with a cooling unit, and it is fully unlocked. So it kind of hit that middle ground between the two and did not come with the Avengers game, which if you're buying a KA, you can't get that anymore. So spend a little less and get a K. But anyway, it's here in my hot little hands. Dun, dun, dun.
And it's a small box. It's so cute.
It is so cute. So I'm looking forward to putting this under the knife and seeing what it can do here very soon.
Well, don't cut the processor, though. Just cut the box.
But that's not all I got, Dennis. In fact, I've started to procure things for the new build, and we're pretty close, I think.
Okay.
No.
Are we pretty close to one of the things you procured?
Yes. In fact, I thought it would be fun to do a cold open of a box. Now, we do these occasionally, but usually it's something that Dennis has.
Oh, yeah.
Of the case that we ended up getting.
So you have to use your mind eyeballs because this is radio and I'm not going to post pictures.
No pictures, just noise. All right, anyway, I'm going to open this bad boy up. So I'm taking the headphones off.
And speak louder. Oh, that rustling noise of the box. Oh, and Darren already cut it open. Oh.
It's okay in there, almost.
Oh.
Look, it comes in a pretty bag.
And you didn't even flip it over. So when, okay. So here, hold on.
Let's start.
No. I'm going to talk about removing a case from a box.
All right. How do you do it right?
I'm convinced that there's no correct way. There's only the way that idiots do it and the way that I do it.
Oh, no.
So if you do a YouTube search and kind of hit some of the review sites, they will tell you the best way to remove a case from a box is to flip it over and open the bottom, flip it back over, and then lift the cardboard box off of the case. And I'm like, okay, that's great. If you're
totally disagree.
Yeah. It's great if you're never going to use the box ever again. But for me, I do reviews, and once I'm done reviewing the case, I put it back in the box. And if you open it from the bottom, every time you move it, it's going to fall out, even if you tape it up, because the secondhand tape is secondhand tape.
So you open the top.
You open the top, and then you flip the tabs over, and then you roll it over on the carpet and pull the box off.
But we don't have any carpet in here.
No, it's all concrete and stuff in the lab. But you did excellent because you were able to reach down in there and lift the whole thing out because you're a big, strong guy. And
so what are you looking at?
I'm looking at a bag.
It's a black bag. So it comes in a protective case, which should give you a hint as to what's inside.
Oh, so what case is this?
This is a Fantech P500A. Let's open it up.
The Eclipse. I think we've seen this at some trade shows or something, maybe. I don't know. Fantex is like weird when it comes to sending out samples. Sometimes they will go and send them to people, and sometimes they'll be like, who are you? Even though they know us. So if Fantex is listening to the podcast, reach out. Say hi. Whoa.
Ta-da.
That's the back. That's not the bottom.
Ta-da.
Dude, here's the feet. Roll it.
Oh, I'm getting there.
Darren did this wrong. Yay. Oh, hey, that looks familiar.
It should look familiar because we've done some similar cases.
Yeah, so I'll link down in the show notes below. I have reviewed a Fantex Eclipse P300 and a P400. And this is the P500, which is, based on the numbers, that should be a much larger version. Similar styling, though, which is good.
So before we talk more about the case, let's talk about some of the selection criteria, because you and I talked about this a little bit, but it didn't make the podcast.
Oh, yes. This was like the late night text conversations where Darren's like arguing with me about what to pick.
So this was not my first choice. We should point that out.
Okay.
Initially, I was looking at a Lian Li case.
Oh, no.
With mesh. Now, I love Lian Li cases from way back when. Mm-hmm. But they've become kind of a niche manufacturer. But they do have a beautiful mesh case. And I liked it because it had glass on the left, the right, and the top. Three-window glass.
That was the O-whatever DeBauer edition case, right?
Well, it was... we'll have to link to it in the show notes. But yep. It has some really unique things it does because it had glass on all three sides. And then the bottom pieces opened up separately in doors also. And I really liked it, but... And going out and researching it, there were some questions about the build and how buildable it was. And ultimately, I decided that maybe I could live without three windows. So that piece of criteria went. Now,
In reality, you've been there, done that with three windows.
Yes.
You can look back in I guess if you are a hardcore listener of the Hardware Zion podcast, you will know that Darren modded a three-window case a long time ago.
One of my very favorite cases from Kingwin back in the day.
Yes.
In fact, I held on to it forever until I just couldn't convince myself that anything with 80-millimeter fan slots was, you know, viable ever as a build again.
Oh.
So then I started looking at cases that had the tempered glass. And what I had for my other criteria is it had to have digital RGB lighting as an option.
The ARGB or DRGB?
Right. And it needed to be able to support a vertical video card because when we do our builds for trade shows, we like to show the video card off front and center, especially in our custom water cooling builds.
Darren likes to show off.
And it had to have tempered glass.
Well, you mentioned that. And this one has tempered glass. That's good.
And then I went back and forth on whether I wanted to do another white case. So it had to be available in white.
Okay.
Now, you'll notice this case in front of us is not white. If you're at home, picture in your mind a beautiful black case or Google.
This is a very not white case.
With tempered glass. Now, the interesting how I came to this is because we were talking about how we could customize the case. And this particular case competes with some other cases that come pre-modded. And I couldn't do it.
Premod?
Yeah, you know, custom graphics already on it, custom paint.
Oh, right. Yeah, you were looking at something from Corsair that had its...
The Signature Series from Corsair, which I still love, but, oh, I don't love the price tag.
Yeah, and I want to say that they tried to... Okay, at CES, they showed us some of these new side panel designs, and they were using their LED features and embedding them onto the glass. It was just a sheet of LED that went on the glass.
It's pretty cool.
So you could do custom lights in any color pattern that you wanted. And I want to say one of the panels that you could get from Corsair had that. But the design that you liked was more like an etch, which I'm like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Why isn't the LED? That's dumb.
But so anyhow. That doesn't mean etching is out of the picture because, as you know, we were talking about laser cutting or laser engraving maybe this generation. And we'll see if that works out.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the major features of this, besides the lighting, was it had to be able to support multiple styles of water cooling. So this is extremely compatible for water cooling,
mm-hmm.
which...
The larger cases normally have much larger fan locations, allowing you to move the fan up and down side to side. Mm-hmm. And that is cohesive for AIOs in general, because every radiator on an AIO is different. And one AIO that will fit case A may not fit case B because the fan hole is 3 millimeters too small.
So all that set aside, and there is a really cool RGB stripe between the basement compartment and the top that I kind of like.
Oh, that's cool.
Not the first case to have it, but nope. All of this is compatible, of course, with the motherboard we've chosen, which is the Formula 12.
Oh, yeah. ROG.
And so that's going to look really great in there, even though we went to the single panel. But the last, probably most important criteria when I finally went to set it all down was cooling. And so I wanted a case with really extreme cooling. So I wanted the maximum mesh, wanted maximum cooling capability. And of course, when you do three windows, you give up a lot of the breathability.
Yes. Now, cooling is relative. This is something that we talk about in the reviews. And while this case is designed for cooling, and some YouTubers will say, cooling is king and you have to have it because if it's not, then you're an idiot. The cooling of a case is relative to the way it's designed. So some silent cases will have limited access to the fans because that is how the noise gets out. Now, when we're trying to build a show build with, ample fans with RGB and the lights and stuff, we want to be able to show that off. And you can't necessarily do that when you have a panel in front of them. While this case has ample availability to air, I don't think that that's the primary design of this particular case.
No, but there is a different version of the 500 that doesn't have that huge mesh up front. It has a fancy lit front end.
Yeah, it's like a plexi front end or something like that.
So we went with this one instead. So there are a couple other things that drew me to it. One is you can see that there's no cage inside, so there's plenty of room for custom water cooling.
I'm moving.
You can also see that there are no visible drive bays. They're all either behind the motherboard or in the basement. So really, the main section here is going to show off the stuff that we want to show off. The video cards, the lighting, the fancy motherboard with the EK cooling system built on it, and then all of the RGB in sync.
I think you'll find that once you open up the accessory box, which is inside the case, which maybe we should get into the case now,
yep,
you might find some trays that allow you to mount drives in the motherboard area that you were saying, hey, it's completely clean.
So let's pause for a second and let's open this thing up.
Wait, no, you have to pull that. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Now you got it open.
Oh, yeah, that door was a little interesting. All right.
So the case is now what we would call naked.
Exposed to the world.
Exposed. So we have the tempered glass off, we have the back panel off, and the front bezel off, which prevents the side panels from coming off. So you always have to remove the front bezel on just about any Fantex case to get to the glass, which is, it's kind of a nice thing. And it's on a hinge. I'm impressed with that.
Yeah, and I think it actually has a magnetic piece to hold it in front. But
A little clasp.
One of the interesting things about the glass, tempered glass door, is that it's fully insulated on all four edges with a nice rubber gasket.
Oh, yeah. And see, that's one thing that any manufacturer releasing tempered glass does not ever do. So they either rubber mount the glass on the mounts that screw onto the panel, giving it a gap, And that screws up the airflow, to be honest. That what that does is it gives you an extra way for the air to get out. So you can't have a positive air pressure inside the case at that point.
Well, let's take a look at this thing. So now I've spent some time researching this, but I know this is your first look at the case. So I'm anxious to get your first impressions.
Okay. Well, and as I've mentioned before, I've reviewed the two lower end editions of this case.
I'm going to take this big mesh piece out of the way. Impressive.
And I'm going to say that this case is very similar to those. So what I'm basically looking at here, and we'll put a picture in the show notes so you can check it out. But in the front, we have 340 millimeter fans all stacked and perfectly gapped. I mean, they take up the whole front opening. That's very rare, actually.
Right.
A lot of times you'll have this huge opening, and then they'll just stick fans in there. And the idea behind the huge opening is that, well, you get some adjustability to install whatever you want, however you want. But if you have gaps, you have a way for air to go the wrong direction, which is kind of a cooling thing.
Very nice. And the fans are white, the only color that shows in the case, at least before the lights are on.
Yeah, I think these ones are RGB in the hubs as well, which is good. You got a nice basement panel, and as you noted before, there's an LED strip in there that will light up, which is cool. And the one thing that I really like about this case is that it doesn't have any rubber grommets.
Oh, yeah, I just noticed that.
So in the basement panel, we have this door for the most part, and it slides. I think you might be able to hear that, but that slides so that you can get your cable through to hook it into your video card, and then you can slide it closed to wrap around the cable and minimize the gap, basically. And then the cables that go from the motherboard to the back of the tray are very minimal. We have some large slots at the bottom, which are relatively hidden, and some at the top, which have... instead of an actual hole, they use the staggered effect, where we have a piece of metal that's about an inch behind the metal in the front. So if you look at it straight on, all you see is the metal. Now, if you look at it at an angle, then you can start seeing the gap, which is where the cables would come through.
Right.
And we have ample room at the very top, which will house your radiator and fan with no obstruction on your motherboard. That's important. And, yeah, the vertical GPU mount with three slots.
The three-slot thing I thought was important as we move into the new generation.
Well, yeah, if you're going to run a triple-slot cooler, that is very important. Although Fantex has done this primarily for the wider cards, but if we have a two-slot card with fans there, it gets too close to the glass. And people claim that they don't get very good cooling like that because it doesn't allow enough air to get into the GPU. So having an extra slot there gives you that space. Now, if we turn the case around,
yeah,
this is also really impressive. And is one reason that Darren picked this one over the others. We have ample tie downs for cables, which are already occupied by the wiring inside this Fantex case.
It's actually pre-organized, sort of, which is kind of cool.
Fantex is really good about organizing all of their wiring inside the case. We got three slots for 2.5-inch SSDs. And the one thing I'm always impressed that more manufacturers need to do is we have the motherboard tray at one level, and we have the tray which would normally house our external 5 1/4 back in the day, which is where most of the cables are routed, is at a different level. So we have more space for cables there than we do behind the actual motherboard tray.
Well, that keeps you from making those weird hard bends from behind the motherboard.
Yeah, and it gives you a nice gap here to get cables from the back to the motherboard tray.
Yeah, and these cable guards are adjustable also, so you can remove them to place some future drive trays perhaps in a traditional location, or simply to move them to make more room for cables.
Yep. And the basement panel, which is a staple in most modern cases, ample room for the power supply, which has its own mounting plate. So you pull the power supply out, you put the mounting plate on, you slide that entire unit in so you don't have to move it in from the back, which is nice. That allows you to pull the thing out and actually attach more cables without needing to remove the back panel if you don't need to.
Very nice.
And you had mentioned that there was some drive racks.
Yeah, it came with two drive racks that you can put in the basement if you need to run some full size, or maybe now we should start calling them old fashioned 5 1/4 hard drives.
Well, 3 1/2 actually.
Oh, 3 1/2, that's right. Or you can run more smaller 2.5s. Mm-hmm. It'll support up to 4 of them, but it only comes with 2.
And that is in the basement panel. That's kind of where they're designed to go. But I did notice that on those racks, they have some hooks and some mounting screw locations, which will allow them to attach to the traditional area inside the motherboard location. So you can attach your drives inside the case if you need more storage space, which is just seems weird.
Yeah, why would you want to? But I guess you can. Or maybe it's if you have so many drives that you need to put some in the bottom and a bunch up top.
Well, I think I don't know. These days, I think we are done with having 10 drives in a computer case. Although I guess in some other parts of the world where storage is a bit more expensive, you know, hermit crabbing your hard drives is kind of still a thing.
Yeah, it's becoming a thing of the past, fortunately, because drives are becoming cheaper. Although with the computer shortage of 2020, 2021, that's kind of stalled out, but it should continue to go down.
Yep. Now, one thing that, well, and I'm going to say this again, one thing I like about Fantex cases, which is more than one thing, is the top panel. So this is a common feature of Fantex cases that you can remove the entire panel with just a couple of screws.
Yeah, the whole case is very easy to take apart, but the top especially. No rivets removed. Build quality is also fantastic. No, no stability, no sharp edges. Everything's a beautiful black.
Yeah, it's actually a really nice paint job. So the removing the top panel is important for installing radiators and fans and also routing cables. In some cases where the top panel doesn't give you a lot of space between the top of the motherboard, it makes it really difficult to plug in that CPU power connector. And by removing this, you can have full access to the wires. And if we're doing water cooling, which we plan on doing, the extra space is a welcome addition.
Well, I think that's a great segue to finish up with kind of our at least initial idea for the build. Mm-hmm. So if we use the Fantech P500A Eclipse as our base,
yep,
we'll be with the motherboard, the Formula 12 motherboard with the EK water block stack, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, there's that water bridge. So on the Formula, the VRM is water cooled and EK provided a CPU block and then the bridge module that covered everything so that it allowed you to have water in and water out and cool the CPU and the VRM at the same time. It kind of has this full coverage block appeal, but it's a stacked piece.
Well, it looks pretty and it should look really nice behind the tempered glass. Mm-hmm. The processor, of course, the 10850K that we've talked about.
So the last thing that we need to look at is radiator and res. Those are really the two important pieces that we need to find locations for inside this case. And we have a couple of options. One, we could use the Thermaltake D5 pump res combo that was in your last build,
right?
That we ended up taking out. But that's a pretty heavy unit in terms of size. And I don't know if the gap between the fans in the basement will allow it to fit and actually mount to the bottom of the case. We have another option, and I forget the number. I'll have to put it down in the show notes, but EK makes a combo pump res that is a plate. It looks like a radiator. So it has a small DDC pump in the bottom, which is actually pretty powerful. And then the whole thing looks like a distro plate, but it's really your reservoir. So you have a couple of spots where you can fill it, a couple water outs, and a couple more water ins, allowing you to use that as a reservoir and then route water wherever you need it to go. The mounting brackets have the same spacing as fans, so you can just mount it to that. It is a 240 form factor, so it's a little bit smaller than the fans you have, but I think with a couple of creative mods, we can make it fit no problem. And then we'll just put the radiator in the top, and I think that will give you plenty of space inside and still show off the fans and be able to add even more.
That sounds really exciting. So water cooling, mostly handled. We'll have to decide if we want to do hard tubing. In the short run, we'll be running the 2070 Super that has been in my core gaming build while we weather out the video card shortage.
Yeah, it should be getting better, that's for sure.
And eventually, of course, we'll put a water-cooled video card in there in the vertical up front. Uh-huh. Rounding out the build, we've got a Samsung Evo drive for storage, a 2 terabyte. And this time around, our M.2 is going to be a Western Digital Black that we've been planning to spend some time in. We're traditionally a Samsung Evo shop here, so we thought we'd try something a little different this build.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a SoundBlaster AE5 that we will most likely put in. It looks really cool, and B, it's nice to separate that into its separate card, and nobody does it better than SoundBlaster.
Correct.
And finally, the foundation, maybe the most important part of any build, is the power supply. We'll be moving a Cooler Master 1000 watt that we've had with some custom cabling in there that will give us a splash of white also to match those fans.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, I was going to ask you if you wanted to keep the white cables or if we were going to try and get another set.
Ooh.
Because, for instance, when we installed that set in your last case, we didn't get the cable combs.
That's right.
And this might give us a good opportunity to, you know, pick an accent color. Maybe we can do a couple of mods and add some color to it and then have the cables accent that as well. Something you'll have to think about because that does add a significant amount of time to the build process.
Very true. Now, I chose, the traditional black case with the tempered glass over the white that we've been running for so many years because that addressable RGB or the DRGB that carries across the motherboard and the fans, I thought would be enough. So I'm wondering if the white cables will pick up the color or if we should go a different direction.
Oh,
we'll have to find out.
We'll have to find out for sure. Now, the one thing that is a little bit disappointing is the vertical GPU. This case supports it, and I can see exactly where it needs to go, but they didn't include the cable or the mounting bracket.
Yeah, that was a disappointment for me, and that was a mark across all of the cases that I looked at this price point, including the Lianli Mesh 2, which was the original choice. That one had multiple pieces that, for an enthusiast, you'd have to buy separately, which would have added maybe another $50-$60 to the build.
Yeah, and that, I want to say Cooler Master started that with their maker cases because they would sell the base chassis, and then they had a huge catalog of upgrade parts. And those upgrade parts would apply to just about any case in their lineup because, you know, they made them interchangeable. Well, Fantex and Thermaltake and Lianli and some other companies kind of followed suit. Fantex was one of the few premier companies that offered a lot of different components. Like they would include two of the brackets, but then allow you to buy six more from their website if you wanted.
All right.
So I don't have any concerns about getting a vertical GPU ribbon cable. It's kind of disappointing they didn't include it because that seems to be a core feature with this case and a lot of others.
Indeed. And I haven't looked into what it costs yet, but if it's on par with the rest of the industry, it'll be somewhere in the $15 to $20 range.
Yeah, which is not bad. Not bad at all.
But a hassle nonetheless. But anyway, overall, I think we've got things pretty much mapped out. So we hope to get this thing started as soon as the weather starts to cool down a little bit and be prepared for the fall LAN party season, assuming that the current situation allows for it.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes at hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS, follow us on Twitter, or like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2021. Thanks for listening.